Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live today through the auspices of islamtomorrow.com and adli.net. Visit us on the internet at our website, islamtomorrow.com. Our website's open 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free parking. This is your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain, and for the next few minutes, we want to talk on the subject of Thalathun Alamat al-Munafiqeen. In Arabic, it might mean in English, this is the 30 signs of hypocrisy, or nifaq, as it's called in Arabic. The 24th sign is the one that we're dealing with today, and this is one that I think all of us should be very, very concerned about, as we should on all of them, but especially because it has to deal with so many other signs of hypocrisy, and it works into so many areas that go into disbelief. So let us begin by mentioning this, which is to forget. And what, how do you say forget in Arabia? Do you know the word for it? Nasiya. This is to forget. Ana nasiya. I forgot. Or you say la tansa. Don't forget. La tansa. Don't forget. And to remember Allah is to say zikr Allah. Zikr means to remember or to hold in remembrance. Or azkar. Azkar is a form of the same word, zikr. And we begin by mentioning that those who remember Allah and keep Allah in their mind are not like those who don't keep Allah in their mind. In fact, those who don't, that have this sign of nifaq or hypocrisy, they can remember everything but that. They remember everything except Allah. And you will find them very much engrossed and immersed in the remembrance of such things which will not benefit them at all on the Day of Judgment, such as sitting around listening to the radio, watching television, memorizing songs, talking about aspirations of things in this worldly life, sports, movie stars, soap operas on television. They know all of these things. They know the names of the people who portray the characters in these knothead movies and worthless soap operas. They can tell you all about this in detail. They can tell you the names of the players on the teams, how much salary they make, who the coaches are, who they were traded for. It's amazing the amount of knowledge that they have about these worldly matters, which are in truth frivolous. And yet, when it comes to remembering Allah, look at the condition that they're in. And Allah talks about that. He says, أَوْذُ بِلَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ نَصُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They have forgotten Allah, so He has forgotten them. And Allah says, أَسْتَحْوَذَ عَلَيْهُمْ الشَّيْطَانُ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. Shaitan has gained mastery over them, has made them to forget the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. Let me share some things with you in reference to this and see if it makes sense to you. First of all, this particular sign, the forgetting Allah, is related to actually going totally out of Islam. Because the going out of Islam, not being Muslim, is called kufr, right? And one who is doing this is called a kafir. But did you know that this word kafir is something that used to mean a farmer? A kafir used to be called that because he used to dig the soil, put the seeds in the soil, and then kafir them or cover them. The word in English, cover, could very easily have come from the Arabia, kafir, because many of the letters in the English used to be substituted as, for instance, a W for a V for a W, an F for a V, and a V for an F, an S for, and so on and so on. But anyway, cover or kafir. Because, in fact, Allah exists whether people believe it or not. Whether they accept it or not, Allah still exists, and His deen is still the truth. Islam is still the way. So what they, in effect, are doing is only covering the truth. And that's what kafir means. But as for those who remember Allah very much, they're basically uncovering the truth and showing it as it really is. There's a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, this is in Surah Isra. I think it's number 17, Surah number 17. And the ayah, it may be 85, if I'm not making a mistake. And Allah says, the haq, the truth has come, and the battle, the falsehood, has been destroyed. Certainly the truth will always destroy the falsehood. Yes, that's exactly it. That the truth of La ilaha illallah, which means no deity worthy to worship except Allah, this is going to come out eventually. Because it's there, and all people are doing is covering it up. And here's how it comes about. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first created all of us, what He did, He pulled us out of the backbone of Adam. Or He pulled all the souls out of the backbone of Adam. And then, in front of Allah, in this condition, He asked all of us, am I not your Lord? And we all said yes. Every one of us, we said yes. Then He erased this experience from our minds. And then He put us back into Adam. Now, when we go back in front of Allah again, we will remember. But then what good will this remembrance do us? And Allah speaks about it in the Quran. But then what good will the remembrance do them on that day? It will be too late. The time to remember Allah, to have this adhkar of Allah, and to make zikr of Allah, is now, here and now. Don't delay it even 1 second. Not even 1 second. It's imperative, because we don't know how long we're going to live. And we should be thinking of Allah instead of thinking of these distractions, these worldly matters. By the way, you might be interested to know that the word for human being in the Arabia is from the same word which means to forget. The ins, or insan, comes from the same word, to forget. Nasya. SubhanAllah. Human beings are created to forget, and certainly we have. Because we were in front of Allah, we're going to go back in front of Allah, and that's the expression in the Quran when Allah says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. From Allah you came, and to Allah is a return. It's inevitable that we'll be presented back in front of our Lord, and we'll be asked about what we did. This is why it's so imperative for all of us to focus on this concept of worshiping Allah in all that we do, not just standing in the salat and fasting and giving charity, but in all the things that we do, there can be the remembrance of Allah. There should be the remembrance of Allah. When we go to eat, to remember Allah. When we dress ourselves, remember Allah. And when we present ourselves to other people, think about Allah. When we're alone and we're with the others, remember Allah. When we're standing or sitting or lying down on our side, we remember Allah. And this is a sign of a believer, to remember Allah. Allah says this in the Quran. He also tells us in Surah Ra'd, chapter 13, verse 28 in the Quran, that the remembrance of Allah, in the remembrance of Allah, hearts, which means the qalb in Arabic, the qalb, heart, finds peace, it finds rest in the remembrance of Allah. And so zikr, or remembrance of Allah, is something that is so important that the Prophet ﷺ told us that the difference between the one that is alive and the one that is dead, talking about the tongue, is the tongue which is moist with the zikr of Allah, and the one which is dead is the one that doesn't remember Allah. SubhanAllah. And after every salat, we should say 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 33 times SubhanAllah, in this order. We should say 33 times SubhanAllah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 33 times Allahu Akbar. And this is 99 remembrances of Allah. And then we say, La ilaha illallahu wahdu la sharika lahu. La khumuqa wal hamdu yushu wa yumitu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. SubhanAllah. Oh, by the way, what does that mean, SubhanAllah? It means more than just glory to Allah. It means exalted and above all things that people will try to associate with Allah and worship is He. Yeah. And what does Alhamdulillah? It means all the praise, all the devotion, all the thanksgiving is due only to Allah. SubhanAllah. And then, what does Allahu Akbar mean? It means that Allah is the greatest and greater than anything, even the whole entire universe. But Allah is greater than what He has created. Allah is Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And this should be something in our mind. We should be thinking about this. It should be not just when we pray, but definitely when we pray, we should think about Allah. But after the prayer, and then when we go to our car or to our transportation and we're traveling, and when we're alone and when we're with someone, thinking about Allah, and we should keep our tongues busy with the remembrance of Allah rather than sitting around talking about other people and worrying about backbiting and keeping up with sports and soap operas and political issues. But we should be thinking, Allah, Allah, what does Allah want from me? Allah, what can I do to serve Allah? Allah, He is so great, He's so generous. Think about Allah's 99 attributes or characteristics, His 99 names. Because in doing this, inshallah, we'll bring ourselves out of this darkness that we live in, bring ourselves to the nur, to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah. But at the same time, I want to caution us to remember that whatever is in Islam in the way of dhikr was already explained to us 1400 years ago in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa salatu wasalam. Because he, peace be upon him, showed us very clearly and told us very clearly that whatever is in worship in Islam is being presented here and now, and it doesn't need anybody to add to it. So if you don't find this dhikr that somebody's telling you to do, you can't find it in Quran and Sunnah, then why are you doing it? Do be careful about this, because there are those who have a tendency to exaggerate and add things that don't belong there. There's a basic principle in Islam that can be summed up in two simple sentences, two simple phrases. The first of which is that in Islam, everything in the worldly matters is halal, except what Allah has made haram. Second statement is that everything in the area of worship to Allah is haram, except what Allah makes halal. Now think that over, reflect on that, because all the things we do on a daily basis, we don't have to think too hard. Microwave ovens, automobiles, airplanes, computers, email, television, all of these things are innovations, something new. But are they permitted for Muslims? Certainly. Because these are the things in the worldly matters. Unless you find something about them that's haram, based on Islam teaching us, no, you can't do that, then it's accepted and assumed that everything is halal. Everything is good for you, except what you know to be forbidden for you. Alhamdulillah. With regard to the other matter, though, we have to consider that there's nothing that we can do. It's totally haram. We cannot make any kind of worship whatsoever to Allah except that which is approved by Allah. And we know that from the Quran and the Sunnah, the way and the teaching of His last and final prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mention that because when we talk on the subject of dhikr, we definitely need to make more dhikr. There's no doubt about this. We need to think about Allah much, much more than we do. At the same time, I don't want us to innovate here and begin to follow what some people do, is to make up things that were never from the Quran and Sunnah, and then give certain numbers of these things to say, and then they start to imply that this is going to cure you of cancer, or this certain dhikr will help you get married, and that certain dhikr will cause problems for other people, and this kind of dhikr will make good things for you, and this kind of dhikr will do so and so. And all of that, without any evidence, becomes a bid'ah, an innovation, which is totally rejected by Allah and could put somebody out of Islam before it's all over with. So may Allah save us from this. Ameen. Now we'll come back to our main subject, just talking about the azkar of Allah, the thinking of Allah and keeping Allah in our minds in the things that we do. Again, this is not something new coming with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This comes also in the Bible. As many of you know, I used to be preaching from the Bible, and it's saying in the Bible, in the New Testament, very clearly, that a person should keep the remembrance of Allah at all times, because it says, pray unceasingly. Never stop praying. But of course, they're not talking about Salah, because Salah is not something that's coming with the Bible. You don't find Salah in there for the average person, only for the prophets. So the salah, or the way we stand in a ritualistic worship, is not what was being talked about here, but rather something that is more akin to the dhikr of Allah. And Muslims are also ordered the same thing, to make dhikr unceasingly. Just keep thinking about Allah. For the remembrance of Allah brings peace to the heart. The remembrance of Allah causes you to have more taqwa. And the taqwa is something very necessary to be guided, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, that this is a book wherein there is no doubt, and its guidance is for those who have the taqwa. And may Allah give us this taqwa and keep us in the right way. There are a number of hadiths regarding the subject of the dhikr, but none is more beloved to me than the one that mentions that the person who says, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, and if he says this 100 times, just 100 times, Allah will take away 100 of his sins and record for him 100 good deeds and give him the reward as though he had freed 10 slaves, and he will protect this person from the shaitan from the morning until the night. And if he reads it at night, he'll protect him from the night till in the morning. So, subhanAllah, what a beautiful thing. And this is mentioned on the authority of many of the those who record hadith, and they're saying this is good. Let me repeat the saying for you in the Arabiyah, and if you need a copy of it, you can email us at askislam@aol.com. Allahu la ilaha illahu. I'm sorry. I started it wrong. La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu. Lahu mulku wa lahu alhamdu. Yuhyi wa yumitu. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Say that 100 times. Now, if you don't have the time, then many times after the salah you said, I wish I had time, but I don't. I have to get back to work, or I have to take care of the baby, or I have to take care of some obligation. I don't have time to sit here and do 100 of those. Well, unfortunately, this is a condition that we're trading off the akhir for the dunya. But in this case, Allah has given you another way. And the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, whoever says, La ilaha illallah wa astu la sharika lahu, lahu maku wa alhamdu, yuhyi wa yumitu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. The addition of yuhyi wa yumitu is in this one. And whoever says this, then he says it 10 times. Then Allah will record for this person 10 good deeds, take away 10 bad deeds. Doesn't mention anything about freeing any slaves, but he will still protect this person from the shaitan from the morning to the night, if he reads it in the night, from the night to in the morning. Amazing, isn't it? Oh, by the way, would you like to know what it is that we're saying here? La ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lahu. There is none worthy of worship except Allah. Wahdahu la sharika lahu. And Allah, He's one without any partners, from the word wahid, one, with no partners. La sharika. Sharik is to make partnership. Shirk. And la 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 hu wahdahu la sharika lahu. Lahu mulku wa lahu alhamd. And He is the owner of everything. The mulk. He's the owner of all. And all the praise, the hamd, is only to Him. And then, yuhyi wa yumit. This is the one who gives life, and He's the one who gives death. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And that He is capable, powerful, to do whatever it is that He wills to do. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So this is something that will really help us in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of many good things that you can say in remembrance of Allah. I highly recommend it for myself and all of us. There are other things, there are du'as that certainly are nice to go along after you make your dhikr, to remember Allah and then ask Allah for things. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in a beautiful hadith, he said, Kalama tayyiba la ilaha illallah. The best saying is to say there is none worthy of any worship except Almighty Allah. And he also told us that the best dhikr of Allah is to say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And the best dua is to say Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive all of us. And Allah, forgive us for not remembering Him more. And Allah, guide us to do more of the remembrance of Allah and bring us closer to Allah. Ameen. We've been talking on the 24th sign of nifaq, or hypocrisy, and that's the one who forgets Allah, but he remembers everything else. Finally, I want to share with you a little story that actually happened to me in a village that I visited one time. And while I was there, they were having Muslim school for the children. And I observed that there were a lot of mistakes in the way that they were teaching them, but I didn't want to say anything directly to hurt anybody's feelings, but I wished that I could speak to them. Allah gave me the opportunity. So when I began to speak to them all, I said, by the way, is there anyone here that knows anything about sports? And all the children raised their hands, and I began to ask questions about soccer players, football players, basketball players, baseball players, tennis players, hockey players, and there were children who knew answers to everything I was saying. But there was one particular child who knew every single sport. He knew players, he knew their backgrounds, he was familiar even with their salaries and the names of their coaches. It was amazing that this child could do that. His father was right there and was very proud of him for that. And I don't blame him, because it's nice to have a child with a good memory. But then I turned it around the other way. I said, now is there anyone here that could name for me 20 of the companions of Muhammad? And I used the word in Arabia, Sahabi. I said, anyone can name for me 20 Sahabi. And they looked at me like I was speaking French or Greek, because they had no clue what I was saying. I said, the companions of Muhammad. I said, the companions of Muhammad. Is there anyone here who can name for me 20 of the companions of Muhammad? And nobody said anything. They just kept looking at each other. The parents started looking around the room at each other and back to their children. And I was looking at everybody saying, okay, what's going on? It's a Muslim school here. And these kids don't know the names of the companions of Muhammad. Who will tell me 20 names? Nobody. Finally, one little girl raised her hand. I said, yes, go ahead, dear. Tell us. She said, Abu Hanifa? I said, Astaghfirullah. This is not a companion of Muhammad. This is someone who had met some companions of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's sad. I said, how about this? Who will name for me 10 companions of Muhammad? Raise your hand. If you can name 10, please give me 10 companions. Still, nobody. And in particular, I'm looking at this boy who named all these sports players, and he can't come up with this. I said, 10, just 10. Let me say this. I'll include all the wives of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had 11 or 12 wives. Certainly, you know, this would make it easy. Still, nobody. Nobody could come up with 10 names. I said, this is big shame. This is Aib. How in the Muslim school, and you have your children here and you're not teaching them this, what are you teaching them? SubhanAllah. Finally, when I dropped the number down to 5, I had some takers, and they were trying desperately to come up with the names. Even then, they weren't accurate in the things that they said. This is the condition of some of the Muslim children here in the West these days, even when they attend Muslim schools, because we're not really thinking about Allah and His messenger and the message that came and those who tried to preserve it. What we're thinking about today is these silly worthless worldly matters that have absolutely no value for us, even here, but especially in the grave, and absolutely nothing on the Day of Judgment. All this wasted time, and Allah is going to ask us about every second. What did we do with the precious time that He gave us? And if we sat around watching television, listening to nonsense music, and gossiping about each other, and talking about world conditions which we don't even understand ourselves, and here we are talking about it as though we're some kind of world peace saviors or something like this, subhanAllah, and wasting this precious time that we could have to be worshiping Allah alone without any partners. Wasting the precious time that we could be saying Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. Or the Kalima Tayyiba, which is the second Kalima, the third Kalima, which says, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. May Allah guide us. May Allah wake us up to the value of this deen. May Allah put us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the dhikr of Allah in our hearts and take out the love for these worldly matters. Ameen. May Allah put us on this straight path and our loved ones and those around us. Ameen. And may Allah bring us back together in this life for the good of Allah and Islam, and bring us together in the next life with those who are the righteous, and enter us into His paradise of Firdaus, Firdaus al-Jannah. Ameen. Ameen. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting live today. This is your host, Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain, reminding you that it is Allah who is Al-Alim. He's having all of the knowledge, and that we have no knowledge except what He gives us. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah, wa barakatuh.